Amen. Let's look back at verse number 16. The Bible reads, "And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." And my evening sermon is going to be a counterpart to this morning sermon. I want to continue talking about this issue. This morning I preached on American black culture. And just a quick recap, you know, there's nothing wrong with culture. There's nothing wrong with having a difference of your nationality or where you're from or preferences when it comes to food choices or clothing choices or, you know, basically heritage or history. But when culture crosses a certain threshold where it's in violation of God's word, it's a part of culture that should be, rejected and preached against. And it shouldn't be something we embrace or we should tolerate. And, you know, you say, well, why don't you preach against whites, you know, or why don't you white culture or whatever? Well, one part of white heritage is slavery. You know, in American history, there was a long portion of time where Americans, especially whites, had enslaved black people from Africa, you know, generally speaking. And that's a horrible part of our history. That's a horrible part of our culture. And I'm not going to embrace that or pretend like that was a good thing. And some people will say, oh, well, that's why I reject the Bible, because the Bible teaches slavery. And people use the Bible to teach slavery. Well, you know, they were misusing the Bible, because the Bible does not teach, you know, the form of slavery that was existent in America for several hundred years and a lot of the segregation that even happened. The Bible teaches that what most people think of slavery is wrong. Okay, and it condemns it very strongly. Verse 16, we clearly have, if you're literally selling another person into slavery, if you're selling another man, if you steal somebody and you sell them, that is a capital punishment. That is something worthy of being put to death. How could you then take this verse and exonerate any type of slavery that we see today? You know, and there's all kinds of slavery. Unfortunately, there's millions and millions of people in the world right now that are literal slaves. Okay, and not just the sex trafficking arena, but even in Africa and in Muslim countries and other parts of the world, there are literally still people that are in modern day slavery, okay? And slavery's wrong. Slavery is not a biblical concept. We see in this chapter it talking about how someone was only supposed to serve for 6 years, and then the seventh year they were supposed to be let free. And if you cause them any kind of physical punishment that goes beyond, you know, normal punishment, where you actually cause them permanent damage, losing a tooth or hurting their eye or something, they would be immediately let go. They're immediately set free. And the only way that someone would be a lifelong servant is if they chose it. You know, the Bible says there could be an example where someone just chooses, I just want to serve with you for the rest of my life, and they end up becoming an indentured servant for their entire life. And so slavery, as we think of it, you know, and most people, you know, I picture it, is wrong according to the Bible. And you got to think about this. The children of Israel were just enslaved for a really long time in Egypt. It's not like they're strangers to the idea of slavery. And God is condemning it for them. Okay, go to chapter 23 and look at verse 9. And it says, "And also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you are strangers in the land of Egypt." So when they come out of Egypt, he's not going to say, oh yeah, slavery, it's okay if you have the right person that you're enslaving. No, and slavery is just always wrong. Slavery is always just not an appropriate form of living, or it's not an appropriate behavior. It's not an appropriate culture. God does not, you know, want slavery. And when you look at his commandments, it's very clear. Now, this is where some people get confused. They'll say, well, I've seen, you know, portions of the Bible where people are enslaved, okay? Well, there's a difference between history and what God wants. You know, there's a big portion of the Bible dedicated to the kings. You know, God never wanted the children of Israel to have a king, okay? And there's certain groups of people, like the Canaanites, that were all appointed unto destruction, and Joshua ends up making a bad deal with these people, and they end up becoming indentured servants or a type of a slave for the remainder of their life. But that wasn't God's will. That wasn't what God wanted them to do. He had rather them just been killed. He'd rather them just put to death. And so they get a lighter punishment of just being indentured servants for the remaining portion of their days. But the Bible still makes it clear. There's no justification to sit here and beat people up or cause them permanent damage. That would never be acceptable. God is love. His laws are righteous. There's nothing unrighteous about any of God's commandments. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Let's find another place where the Bible strongly condemns this ideology of slavery. And it's sad to understand that throughout American history, pastors, preachers, and churches got up and justified slavery. And you say, who would do something like that? I don't know. Maybe the Southern Baptist Convention? Ever heard of them? The largest denomination? Yeah, they literally segregated themselves from the Northern Baptists on the issue of slavery legitimately. Okay? They had missionaries that the Northern Baptist churches were unwilling to financially support. They said, I can't support this missionary because he owns slaves. I mean, I feel like I agree. You know, imagine if I'm like, hey, we've got this new evangelist. He's a really good guy. He preaches a lot of Bible, but he does own a couple people as slaves. You know, it's like, why would I want to support that guy? They're saying no. And the Southern Baptist Convention, as I typically recall them, the Bastard Convention, but they literally split because of that. And that's what formed the SBC, was literally slavery, okay? And, you know, you ask some of their leaders, like there's a guy in Houston, the pastor of the largest church down there that's SBC, Greg Mott, the pastor of First Baptist Church there, he loves the Holman Christian Standard Bible because it uses the word slave more than any other modern translation. It uses the word slave over 300 times in that Bible, whereas the King James, it's only used twice. And they're both negative, okay? Now look at Deuteronomy 24, verse 7. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. How can you get up and read these verses and then justify slavery, justify what people were doing? It's evil. It's wicked. It was a twisting of Scripture. And you know what? The same thing happens today. And the same thing is happening today, but instead of it being a physical slavery that's existent today, it's a mental slavery. And the title of my evening sermon is this, Mental Black Slavery. Mental Black Slavery, because in this country, people are being enslaved today, but not physically, mentally. They're being enslaved, and they're basically being mistreated and taken advantage of, and they don't even realize it. Go ahead to Revelation chapter number 1, Revelation chapter number 1. Now, let me teach you a little bit of doctrine, then I'm going to get into very close specifics, but, you know, there's a couple aspects of culture that I haven't touched yet, okay, that, you know, are part of the American Black culture, or the American Black culture sermon that I preached this morning, and I really want to focus this section more on the mental slavery that's happening to Black people today. But if you want to enslave people, one thing that you have to do is you have to keep them dumb. You have to keep them stupid, because knowledge is power. It's just reality. And so in order to enslave people for a very long period of time, one of the aspects often is to try and de-educate them, dumb them down, keep them unsophisticated, because if they start realizing that they are bigger in number or they have the ability to think for themselves, they can often rebel or there can be a lot of problems. And so one way to enslave people is by literally making them stupid on purpose. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know, the Bible teaches you that you need to read. And reading is a very important skill that we all must have. If we want to know who God is, if we want to draw close to him, it's through reading. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Let me show you a couple more verses here. Proverbs chapter number 1. But, you know, I believe that it would be a sin if you are an adult and you have no, you know, mental disability, and you can't read, that's a sin in my opinion. You know, the Bible makes it clear, blessed is he that readeth. How can you even read the Scriptures, you know, when you're unable to? You know, how do you understand the Bible? How do you comprehend things? How do you study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? How can you study when you can't even read? Okay, and it's a shame, it's an embarrassment, it's a reproach. And you know what? There's a lot of adults today that either can't read or can't read well. And it's crazy today, but, you know, that's a sin. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Look, he's contrasting the righteous with the wicked. The wicked love simplicity. They love to be stupid. They love to reject wisdom and to reject knowledge. And let me tell you one of the best ways to reject knowledge, not reading. If you want to be stupid, never read. And if you want wisdom, read. Readers are leaders, okay? And if you want knowledge, if you want information, don't get spoon-fed by MTV. Don't get spoon-fed by the television. You need to get spoon-fed by reading. Hey, you want to learn how to spell? Read. People that can't spell don't read. I'm obviously someone could have like dyslexia or some kind of a, you know, mental problem, but that's an exception. If I run into somebody and they don't have a mental problem and they can't spell, I know something about them. They don't read. Because when you read and you read and you read, when you misspell a word, you can tell, you just look at it, it just looks wrong because you've seen it spelled right so many different times. And if you want to actually gain information, it's through reading, okay? Look at Proverbs chapter 1, just go back to verse number 5, okay? A wise man will hear and will increase learning.